So we're about ready to begin with another edition of Ag Matters.
Good morning.
So good morning, Amy. How are you doing today?
I could not really be better. I've heard this saying, if I were any better, I'd be a twin. So I'm kind of that good this morning. And before we jump in with my guest, I want to have a couple of housekeeping things to take care of. First, throughout the month of March, many, many times I asked our listeners to remember that it was time to pick, click, and give. And I just want to give a quick update and thank you, because our goal was 100 Alaskans donating to Alaska Farmland Trust through Pick, Click, and Give. And we actually surpassed that goal with 113 Alaskans gave us money.
Oh, wow.
I'm super excited about that.
Right.
And I want to say thank you to everyone who took the time to find us and contribute. In March, we were also asking our members to donate towards the permanent protection of a 74-acre property here in the greater Palmer area, and 39 more Alaskans chose to help us out with that transaction. So it's just been a really good spring for us, with people choosing to donate to Alaska Farmland Trust and helping us save the soil. So I'm super excited about that. But now I want to start our next edition of Ag Matters Radio, and my guest this morning is Kevin Fox with the FFA. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Sorry about it sounds like there was a little confusion, maybe. Kevin yeah. didn't think we were getting started right at 7:30.
I thought we were starting at 8, so.
Yeah, no.
But that's all right. Hopefully our state officers will show up here. I told them wrong time, but okay. I'll fill in for them
okay.
if they don't show, I guess.
So. Very good. So let's just start. I always like to do a little bit of background on my guests before we jump into the real topic. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Kevin. You haven't been in Alaska that long. Where'd you come from? Why'd you choose Alaska?
Okay. I actually grew up on a ranch in central Montana as a kid. And I went to high school in a little town called Harloton, and so I had an ag background there, and went on, after I graduated from high school, I went to Montana State, got a degree in agriculture education.
Okay.
And I taught 32 years in Montana, taught high school agriculture education, was the FFA advisor. Most of those years I spent in Livingston, Montana, 26 of them
okay.
were in Livingston, Montana, which is in southwest Montana. So
Yeah,
so pretty passionate about agriculture education. I see what it does for kids and what the FFA organization does for kids. And so I retired in Montana from teaching, and I lasted about 3 months and decided I need to do something different. So
yeah.
That's how I ended up in Alaska as the state FFA advisor.
Okay.
So I've been here a little over 2 years now.
Okay.
Be 2 years in last December.
Yeah. So, and Before you took the job as the FFA state director, had you been to Alaska before? Or was
nope.
it just...
No. Nope.
Wow.
Matter of fact, pulled the trailer up in the first week in December and drove the Alcan
You're
Highway
kidding.
And yeah.
Oh, man.
That was the first time I'd been here, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about FFA. So in the past, it was known as the Future Farmers of America, but they've kind of transitioned away from that name. Is that correct? And now it's just FFA?
Yeah, in 1989, they decided that, you know, agriculture is more than just farming and ranching. And so they really wanted to involve the kids that, you know, might be involved in other facets of agriculture that weren't just dealing with production agriculture. So they got away from the Future Farmers name and just... call it the National FFA Organization. They still kept the FFA acronym, but...
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah.
Because it felt like that change just happened. I was just a little kid in 1989, and we still called it Future Farmers of America. It seems like through high school.
Yeah, but. It's still... I mean, you still... most people say, when they say FFA, they'll still say Future Farmers of America,
yeah.
and everybody recognizes that. You know, I tell my state officers to call it Future for Agriculture. I think that's a good acronym
for
it. So, yeah. So,
very good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about FFA in Alaska. You and I were both in a meeting last night where the announcement was made that you've made some dramatic increases in FFA in your short tenure here. So tell us about how many FFA chapters there are throughout the state.
Well, when I started a couple of years ago, we had 6 FFA chapters in the state, and it's fortunate that we've grown. We'll be chartering 15. So we've got some new chapters coming on board at our state convention next week, and so we've grown chapters, added several. We've more than doubled our membership. There was 125 members when I started, and we're approaching 300 now.
Wow,
so,
that's awesome.
So it's neat growth. Actually, we were fortunate this last October at National FFA Convention. We won the highest percentage membership increase for the nation. So,
really?
Yeah. So
very good.
We're small, but we're growing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a lot of lives impacted, because I know this. I wasn't in FFA as a kid. We actually didn't have it at my high school until the year after I graduated. But I was involved in other organizations similar, such as 4-H and FBLA, the Future Business Leaders of America. And I just know that these organizations have such a positive impact on young people's lives, and it really can really help steer them in the right direction. So it's incredible that you've impacted that many kids and that there's that much interest across the state, because the chapters are from Southeast all the way. Where's your farthest north?
Yeah, we've got, well, our strongest number of chapters is actually in Fairbanks, around the Fairbanks area. We have 6 chapters. We have 4 actually in Fairbanks, Hutchison School, Effie Cochran School. Then we have 2 homeschool chapters, which is kind of unique. One's called Golden Heart, and the other one's, which will be chartering next week, is Silent Springs. And then North Pole, and then out to the east is Delta Junction.
Very good.
And then down here we have another homeschool chapter in the Palmer Matsu area is Midnight Sun FFA. And they are kind of a umbrella chapter. They have some little chapters. We call them sub-chapters around the state, with one in Kenai and one in Anchorage.
Okay, other homeschool groups.
Yeah, and then the Palmer FFA here, and then Southeast we have Cake and Kodiak.
Very good.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
I think that's all. One more, the Nilchek too, down on the Kenai.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
We're working with a new chapter in Soldotna too, so we're hoping to charter a chapter there in the near future. With state cuts to education, there's been some challenges with that.
Sure.
Actually, the gal that is the advisor of that chapter that we've been working with, I'm not sure if she's going to get rehired, so that's been kind of a detriment, but
yeah,
it's trickling down to impact us. So
yeah, we could probably lament on that for quite a while, but let's not, because it's such a nice day outside, and budget cuts can affect us all, and I don't even want to go there. So what does it mean for a student to be involved in FFA, or for, a school to have an FFA chapter? What does that mean for a kid?
You know, the ideal program would have, there's really 3 components to it. There's a SAE component, we call it, which is a supervised ag experience. That's where a student has some kind of either a work experience, maybe they're working for a greenhouse, or they have a ownership type of experience, and they're learning skills from on the job.
Okay.
So there's the SAE. I always say there's 3 circles and they all overlap. And SAE is one of those. FFA is the other circle. And that's the intracurricular organization where students get to take these skills that they're learning in their SAE and learning in the classroom and apply them in leadership activities. And we call them career development events. So I'll talk a little more about state later,
which
is coming up next week. But these career development events give kids a chance to apply the skills that they're learning. And then the third circle is the classroom, the ag lab, the ag shop, where they're learning about agriculture. They're learning about horticulture and plant science and animal science and mechanics.
There has to be an ag program within the school in order for there to be an FFA chapter.
Perfect model, yeah.
Okay.
We'd like to see that. And that's the challenge that we're facing up here, is that not a lot of high schools are offering agriculture education.
Right.
So we've, there's some unique chapters in the state in that. We have As for instance, the advisor in Delta Junction is it works for the Soil Conservation Service. So,
okay.
And she teaches kids part time in the high school, but she's actually not. Her title really isn't a teacher,
okay.
But she is the FFA advisor. And then the homeschool environment, which is unique to us. Matter of fact, had the first homeschool FFA chapter in the nation, really.
Oh, really?
So
look at you setting all these records in first in Alaska. That's awesome.
So that brings a different model to the typical what you would see. I'd say Palmer is probably your typical, or you know, your what you would normally see as far as an ag program, where they have a high school teacher that teaches agriculture,
sure.
And natural resources, and they, you know, have a classroom, they have a greenhouse attached to their classroom.
Yeah.
Lucky kids. And then, you know, they fit that model pretty well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But really good model in that it, you know, I think it does the best job educating kids because not only are they just in the classroom, they're learning from what they do in FFA, they're learning these
sure.
leadership skills, these career skills. And then they're learning from their work experience or their ownership projects too. So it all kind of ties together and reinforces each other and prepares them for future. So,
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So since you mentioned it now, I just can't stop thinking about it. So let's talk about one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on this week is because next week is the state convention for Alaska FFA, right? So let's jump into that and talk about what that means.
Got a big week next week. We've got about 150 kids probably coming to the MATSU from all these chapters that I mentioned earlier from around the state, and they'll be competing in leadership development events, career development events, which it's been kind of a hectic few weeks with my state officers getting prepared for that, because we put on 14 different competitions. On the team side of things, we do veterinary science. We do one in agriculture mechanics. We do one in parliamentary procedure.
I could take a lesson in that.
Environmental and natural resources, marine science. I want to talk a little bit about marine science because it's kind of an interesting one. We do. It's one that is just unique to Alaska in that we do an aquaculture component, an oceanography component, and a fisheries component in that event. We'll do things like salmon ID and net mending and knot tying. And
that's great. Not something that you would think of maybe for FFA, but that's a real life skill that these kids will be able to use
exactly.
in Alaska. So that's great.
The fun part of that event is we do a man overboard event, and it's our team competition, and the team has to get in survival suits and then get their team across the pools. We do it in a pool.
We do
it in Wasilla swimming pool. Yeah,
that's great.
And so it's kind of a fun event to watch, and it's fun for the kids too to compete.
Talk
in that
about so. Trust and team building.
Exactly.
No thanks. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that one. But.
So those are some of the team events. I think, you know, the ag mechanics, when you say mechanics, it's not just, working on engines. It's usually themed around some type of equipment. This year we'll have a potato digger as be the piece of equipment. The students will do some welding. They'll do some concrete carpentry type work.
Really?
They'll do some electricity.
That's incredible. So. And again, real life skills that they'll be able to use later in life
no matter what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I used to always tell kids, no matter what you do, they're always going to learn something that will help you out later on in life. So.
Useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I always, or not always, but for the last couple of years, I've helped at the competition in job interview. And then last year was it Creed? I think.
Probably Creed.
Yeah. And it's, man, you got some incredible kids involved in FFA, and it's really fun to see their confidence and watch them just perform. And, you know, it's really fun to be involved with.
Yeah, and I'd kind of just talked about the team events. And we do some individual events like you were talking about. Kids recite the FFA creed. They do, we have a a prepared speaking event where they bring a speech that they've prepared about some ag-related topic and present that. We do an extemporaneous speaking event where students draw out of a hat of topics and pick one, and then they have 30 minutes to prepare a speech, four to six-minute speech. What else?
Last year, was it the prepared speech speaker who came to the Farm Bureau meeting and gave her speech?
Yeah.
And boy, she did such a good job. Yeah. She gave you a little bit of hope about the future of agriculture in Alaska, right?
Yeah. Leslie McEwen, we were hoping she'd run for state office this year, but we couldn't get her to commit. So.
Oh, okay.
But the Fairbanks girl, yeah. And the neat thing about all these events is the students get to go on and compete nationally. So if they win the state event, they get to compete. In the fall, they'll go to Indianapolis and compete at the national level. So, yeah,
where they'll be, how many thousands and thousands?
Thousands of 50,000 FFAers all in their blue and gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive event. About 80,000 people. They say it's the largest convention of youth convention. It's actually the largest convention in the nation.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And again, what an incredible experience for kids, for a small town Alaska kid to get to go and experience that. I'm sure it's a little bit of culture shock.
Yeah, it's an experience for sure. I know I took, when I was still teaching in Montana, I remember taking a student down there and his eyes were as big as silver dollars the whole time. And furthest he'd been was 100 miles from home and flew down on a plane, you know, first time he'd been on a plane. And, it's pretty amazing. And that's a lot of the opportunity for these kids is a lot of them, it'll be their first time out of state, and a lot of them first time on a plane. Yes. Maybe not so much in Alaska because it seems like we fly to a lot of locations, but
Very good.
Neat opportunity for the kids. Yeah.
I just want to remind listeners that we're talking to Kevin Fox with FFA this morning. We're talking about all the different experiences that kids get to have. So the state competition is here in Palmer next week. And you said only if they win the state competition, is that the only way that they can move on to nationals?
Yeah, as far as the competitions.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, they can go, some chapters will take kids down for a national convention as just a trip, an opportunity to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other things that go on during those conventions besides the competitions, the CDEs, we call them career development events. They'll have, leadership workshops for the kids. A lot of chapters will do tours up on their way down and their way home.
Yeah. So if someone were listening to this or a community member, et cetera, that wanted to get involved in some way, isn't currently involved in FFA, but maybe wants to help out next week at state convention or just get involved with FFA or learn more, how can they learn more?
I was going to say thank you, Amy, for help volunteering last year and the year before that, too.
Yep.
Like I say, we were putting on these 14 events, so we depend a lot on community volunteers to help out with that, and we're looking for people to help judge and help man stations and help us make our events happen. So appreciate the volunteers that we have, and I have a huge list of volunteers that I'm fortunate to have. I guess the first year I was up here, it was kind of crazy. I didn't know a lot of people, and trying to put all this stuff on was pretty hectic, but we're getting a pretty good list of volunteers established, but that doesn't mean that we're in great shape. I mean, we can still use a lot of help to do that. So people can call me. My office is actually at the Ag Experiment Farm.
Right.
And they can call me there. They can also call my cell, which is 907-707-9710. If they're interested in volunteering, I'm still looking for help. So.
Okay.
Be happy to put them to work. And so we start Tuesday morning with our marine science event. That's our first event. And we'll go through to Friday afternoon. Most of our team events we're holding at the farm, at the experiment farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then these individual leadership events that we were talking about are going to be at the Glenn Massey Theater.
Okay.
So we'll have some of our activities up there. And then we have big leadership sessions each day. We'll have two each day that Our state officers give what are called retiring addresses, and they'll do presentations on stage. And we have visiting officers from other states that are coming up. And we'll have two Idaho state FFA officers, one from Washington State. Then we'll have the National FFA Secretary, Victoria Harris, will be up. So
Where's she from? Sorry, unfair question.
That's a good question. Okay. I'm not sure.
I was just thinking about that.
I think she's maybe from Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has Alaska ever had a national officer?
Yeah, we're fortunate to get a national officer up to our convention every year. But this year we're really fortunate. During FFA week, which is the second week in February, we had the National FFA president up. So,
right.
And he spent the week with us. So we did some leadership activities here in Palmer, and then we traveled up to Fairbanks and did some things in Fairbanks, yeah, too, with the chapters up there. So he spent, yeah, the whole week with us.
I guess what I was asking is, has a kid from Alaska ever gone on to be a national officer?
We have never had a national officer.
We've had some Alaska.
We've had kids that run, yeah, yes, but we've never had one. I'm fortunate as a teacher, though, to have I had a national FFA secretary back then.
Well, I can say,
when I was teaching in Montana.
The decade that I worked over at the Division of Agriculture, I was lucky enough to have two former FFA students and Alaska leaders. And actually, I think both of them ran for national office. But anyways, they were my interns for about 4 years. I had FFA students as interns, and they are just dynamo. I mean, like, if you're looking for an intern or a first-time employee, look to your local FFA chapter, because they're good kids, very responsible and professional and well-behaved, all those things.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, that's, you know, I think that comes from that work ethic that those kids establish being involved, yeah, in agriculture, and plus the work ethic that they get from that, back to that SAE, you know, the education that they're getting. So,
yeah.
I know as a teacher, people would always call me up and say, hey, I'm looking for some help this summer, you know.
Yeah.
You got some kids, and most of the time it was, I'm sorry, but they're already employed.
Oh,
somebody's,
I'm sure,
already snapped them up.
Yeah.
So
again, if folks were looking to find out more information about FFA in Alaska, do you guys have a website, or are you active on Facebook, or how can we learn more?
Yeah, we do have a website, Alaska FFA Association, all one combined word, .com.
Okay.
Alaska FFA Association.com. And then we do have a Facebook page. So,
yeah, we're
trying to keep people informed that way too. So
good.
You know, a big component, one thing I didn't mention about our state convention is, we devote one day to community service too.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Community service is a big component of what our kids are about, you know, trying to give back to their communities too. So, matter of fact, we have a degree that the kids earn as they go through FFA. They earn, as a freshman, they earn what's called the Green Hand degree. And then usually when they're a sophomore, junior in high school, they get the chapter degree. And then they have to apply for what's called the state FFA degree, which, okay, will have some juniors and seniors applying for that, and maybe even college freshmen or year out of school. And then the final degree, the highest degree, is the American FFA degree. But we'll have, I think we've got 10 kids that have applied for the state FFA degree, which is, I'm sure, is probably the biggest number we've had. But
okay.
But it's all based on this work experience. They have to have earned $1,500 and productively invested it in an ag-related project or ownership. Maybe it's livestock that they've owned and sold, you know. They have to do so many hours of community service, 40 hours of community service.
Okay.
So those are a part of the components of earning this state FFA degree,
yeah,
as they advance through.
You talk about community service. You need to mention the award that the kids got last year for the hunger relief, or what did you call it?
Yeah, really awesome event. It was called Hunger Heroes.
Hunger Heroes.
And it was sponsored by Tyson Foods, and it was across the nation, so all states were involved in it. But the gist of the event was to try to encourage local chapters to do some hunger event in their local chapter, some community service hunger activity, whether that be maybe working with their food bank or doing a food drive, or, you know, here in Alaska, we had some chapters that did some gleaning of producers' fields. We had some chapters that actually grew their own gardens and provided, like, to the senior centers and local food banks. But the competition was the Tyson Foods would provide a semi-load of protein to the state that had the highest percentage of chapters participating in a hunger event. So we were fortunate that we had, that time we had 12 chapters in the state, and every one of our chapters did a hunger event in their community. So we had 100% participation, which is pretty hard to beat. So when we won that, it was kind of funny. Tyson Foods was like, oh, we've got to send a semi-load of protein to Alaska. And they called us up and said, would you be willing to take a check
instead
of having us truck, you know, try to get this protein to Alaska, because it's going to be really expensive to get it up here. So we said, well, I'm sure that the food banks wouldn't mind that. So during FFA week, when we had the National FFA president, David Townsend, up here, we presented a $15,000 check to the community food bank in Fairbanks. And then 5,000 of that went to the Mattsu Food Bank here in Palmer area.
That's great.
So we won the National Hunger Heroes Challenge, which is
That's awesome. Is that
awesome.
Something that's going to continue every year, or is it a different focus this
year? They've got a different focus this year.
Okay.
They did that for 2 years, and actually we were second 2 years ago. But they did a different focus. This year, they've opened it up to a lot of different community service activities, whether that be hunger events or just helping your community in different ways. So we devote one day at our state convention. We try to focus on community service one day of our convention. So we're going to do some things here in the Palmer area. One of them is we're working with a local Grange organization on the Arboretum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is in the east side of Palmer.
Yeah.
The Arboretum is a combination of shrubs and trees that have been planted on kind of a park area down there. And we'll help clean that up and trim trees and make it a little more functional and get it ready for the summer. So that's one of our projects. We're going to work with Holly Christensen, and she does a magic yarn.
Oh yeah, that's
project
awesome that
where
you guys
she designs yarn wigs and hats and for youngsters that have been suffering with cancer.
Right.
And so we're going to help her with that project, designing some of her wigs and decorations on those. And then we're also doing a paracord bracelet project, which is kind of a functional braided bracelet that we're going to put together with kids, and those will go in care packages that'll be for the troops that are deployed.
Okay, very cool.
We spend most of that Thursday of next week during community service activities, so those are some of the projects we're working on here, but most of the chapters will try to do some of their own community services projects back home too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Kevin, it's amazing how quickly this half hour goes by. Our time is almost up. So I want to say thank you for coming in. I know you're really busy getting ready for next week and preparing for 100 kids to be all in one spot at one time. So thank you very much for taking the time. Any closing thoughts about FFA or a convention next week?
Well, we're excited. Like I say, we got a big bunch of kids coming in next week, and if you're willing to volunteer, feel free to give me a call or find us on our website.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to connect people to you, too.
And thank you for having us and talking about what we're doing. We're excited to grow agriculture. You know, our motto is growing leaders, building communities, and strengthening agriculture. So that's
perfect.
That's what we're about, and we're trying to show kids that there's opportunities out there. And you bet.
Well, okay, there we go. Another edition of Ag Matters. I want to thank Amy Pettit and her guests for coming in today.